Hey, Ron, thanks for taking the time here at Finovate to share some of your insights. So what I want to start off with is, you know, with your broad perspective of the industry, what, you know, brings you to Finovate in the first place?
Well, a couple things, and mostly it's the people, the attendees. I've been coming here for a number of years, and before I joined Cornerstone, I was in the analyst business for a long time, and was fortunate enough to actually have most of these vendors come visit us at the analyst firm. So it really wasn't not coming here so much to see who's kind of out there presenting new, but really more to get the feel of what was going on. And because it just attracts such a high level of attendees across both banks and credit unions, the vendor community in particular, it's really for me coming out here and meeting all the people I don't get to see on a day-to-day basis.
Okay. You know, I've seen a lot of credit unions and banks here. Do you think it's valuable for them to come out and see these new ideas? Do you think it's too futuristic? I mean, how do you feel about banks kind of interacting with these startups?
You know, it's funny. I look at the audience, and it's an interesting mix, both of credit unions and banks, but also of the level of people within the institutions. I actually run into a couple of credit union and community bank CEOs who are here. And so, you know, even though sometimes a lot of these presentations are just not at the right level for them, and it's honestly kind of a mix, sometimes it's really hard to know when they're up there presenting. Are they going direct to consumer? Are they looking for funding? Are they looking for partnerships and investments from the banks? It's, you know, a little bit of a mishmash of where they are. But what's really interesting is that there's, I think, just especially I've seen this over the years. You go back, one of the first one I went to was in 2007, I think, and there were no community bank or credit union participants. It's all fintech people and analysts. And so this really just goes to show that the focus and the interest in the technology and the fintech development has reached the executive level of a lot of credit unions and banks. And so even if a lot of the presentations aren't quite focused at that executive level, it's, you know, you think about what the typical community bank CEO's perspective is and involvement with fintech. This is only good in terms of getting their levels of exposure and knowledge up on what's really going on out there.
Right, okay. And your firm, Cornerstone, does a lot of work with smaller, you know, community banks and credit unions. So how would you kind of advise smaller banks to approach whether, you know, innovation in general and, you know, if they wanted to work with a startup, how do they even get started or think about something like that? Or should they even?
Yeah, I hear this too often. It's like, you know, we need to be, you know, we'll just take a step back a second. The whole kind of zeitgeist around the whole fintech space has really evolved over the past 12 to 18 months. You know, year and maybe even 2 years ago, it was all about disruption. Oh, fintech providers are going to come in and disrupt the banks and blah, 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 blah. And now, guess what? That isn't really what's happening. And the whole conversation has gone to, well, it's all about partnerships. But Travis, here is the reality of the world, is that even if you are the largest bank in this country, you still can only enter into a finite set of partnerships and relationships with third-party providers. If you're a mid-sized bank in the $1 to $20 billion space, you cannot effectively partner with enough fintech startups to move the needle on your business. The reality is if you sold five more loans per month, you would be driving profits more than if you entered into 100 partnerships with fintech startups over the next 2 to 3 years. And so the reality is that the thinking should not be, how can we partner with fintech startups? This has to start with a lot more strategic clarity around where are we really competing, who are we really competing for, what are really going to be the drivers of profitability in our business, and then saying, we got to own everything around that. If you're a, you know, if you're a mid-sized bank, you know, and if you're focused on the commercial lending area and there's a particular industry that's big in your geography, you got to know everything about that industry. You've got to bring everything together. On the retail side, I work with a lot of credit unions who still look at auto lending as a huge driver of their lending volume and profitability.
Okay.
And I look at them and say, then you better be owning everything up and down the vertical chain of auto lending. You look at what USAA does with their auto circle and now their auto buying service. Chase is getting into that.
Yep.
You know, it's great that you may have a lot of indirect lending relationships, that's not the future where consumer behavior is going. It's starting at changing how they buy the cars, not walking into the dealer and waiting to the point of service, point of sale to make the lending decision. So the question about what to do about all this has got to start with a lot more strategic clarity and looking out 5 to 10 years and then working back and saying, all right, what do we need to do today to enable ourselves to both increase and grow our business in the next 12 to 18 months, but be positioned for 5 to 10 years out. That's the challenge, but it doesn't start with how do we partner.
Right, right. Yeah, and we were talking earlier before we started recording about, chasing, the shiny new objects that look really cool and fancy versus something that'll actually impact your business. So how do you kind of sort through, so here we're seeing 70 different companies. How do you sort through all the different ideas and topics and figure out what's relevant for that bank?
Yeah, I think every bank's got to kind of answer that question for themselves. I'll tell you how I do it. I look at it, and the first question I ask is this just technology for technology's sake? And I got to be honest with you, there's just too much of that here. Mm-hmm. Alexa, move $100 from my savings to my checking account. Big deal. Mm-hmm. Big deal. I hope FIS never hears this. Because, the cardless cash thing, too. So I just walk up and whatever, swipe my phone. Because why? Because taking my card out of my wallet, swiping the card, putting the card back into my wallet is so onerous a process. And after 50 years, I've gotten pretty good at doing that, yeah. Travis. So it's
muscle
technology
memory.
For the technology's sake. Another great example. How many times have we heard over the past 2 days, Alexa, can I afford to spend $150 on dinner?
Yeah. Yep.
Travis, nobody on this planet asks that question. You know whether or not you can spend $150 on dinner. Somebody tweeted me earlier. They said, if you have to ask whether or not you can afford $150 to spend on dinner, you can't afford $150. So it's technology for technology's sake, with the idea that, oh, this is so cool. But look how people are reacting to all this. It's, oh my God, this is so cool. Well, yes, it's cool. Another good example, the guys from the University of Michigan with their voice thing, and how much have I spent over the past 6 months? So what? What do you do with that information? Mm-hmm. And by the way, firms like GZO and MX have been out there with that stuff for years.
Okay.
So now you put a voice interface over on top of it, and all of a sudden it's supposed to be great. And then there's the guy from the University of Michigan who spent $23,000 on travel in the past 6 months. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm a professional consultant, and I don't even spend that much on things. And yet we want free college for everyone? Why? So college students can fly around the country every 6 months? We got a problem here, Travis, that we got to fix. So, I'm joking around, of course. But the idea that, we're applying the technology for technology's sake, that, I'll tell you a quote that was given to me probably 15 years ago at this point by the guy who used to run the online banking group at KeyBank. And he said once to me, Ron, he said, we have retained our customers 7 times over. And what he meant was that every investment opportunity that was coming up in the organization was being justified by the supposed increase in retention that would occur if they made that investment.
Right.
And so his point was, if we actually added up all the improvements in retention that were supposedly promised as a result of all our investments, we would be at 700% retention.
Okay.
And so, the idea that, God, we got to be cool to keep up and do this is, look, your customers chose you to do business for a reason. And not having some cool gee whiz bang feature is probably not the thing that's going to make them say, well, they don't have cardless cash. Screw them. I'm leaving.
Right.
It's...
Okay. No, those are all great examples. And I appreciate you injecting some reality into kind of what some of the fintech hype can go into. With that... how can people, find you or learn more about you and what you do?
Yeah, a couple things for sure. On Twitter, you get me at rshevlin, R-S-H-E-V-L-I-N. I also write the snarketing column on financialbrand.com. And if you go to Amazon, look for Smarter Bank book on Amazon.
Okay, awesome. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks, anytime.